afraid I might get hurt. I didn't fight in 20 years. He only stopped fighting for 3 years. Why don't nobody care about my ass? I didn't fight in 15 years. He stopped fighting 3 years ago. And everybody worried about his ass? I haven't done this in 15, 16 years. I'm not a giant. I'm a beginner. And with that, welcome to Early Stoppage, a show where the news of the day is usually given just enough time, but sometimes not enough. This is your first time stopping by. We thank you and get ready for something you won't find anywhere else. I'm John Franklin. I'm joined as always by the God Father of Fight Night Picks, Craig Allen. Craig, how are you?
John, I'm well. I'm in the combat corner. I've got some extra additions to the combat corner. So we got the Derek Lewis signed glove. We got Travis Brown because they fought UFC Halifax. And I've got Pete Weber. A strike to claim it. A strike to claim it. And he got it. Yes. Who do you think you are? I am. And listen, John, I could not be more excited about that bowling signature that I have up there. I love being in the combat corner. And oh, by the way, I leave my normal corner, which is right over there, but I bring the checkerboard with me and I can't miss it. I love what we had to say. Listen, last weekend was great. Let's get into the show. I'm so excited.
On this episode of Early Stoppage, we talk Yair Rodriguez having trouble with the USADA app. Was Dos Anjos the closest to killing the Eagle? And Nick Diaz's return to MMA. But we begin, Craig, with Mike Tyson. Craig, last weekend, Mike Tyson returned to fight Roy Jones in what was billed as a fight or an exhibition or a hard spar. Who the hell knows? What it ended up being called really was of no relevance, but all the reviews are in, and it was a hit. Tyson looked like he showed up to fight. And Roy Jones looked like he showed up to not get knocked out. Both accomplished their goals. I just want your full review of the night. Just so we can be clear, I could talk about this for the entirety of the show.
I bought this shirt in advance of the whole thing. So, listen, I got to come clean inside baseball. The Fight Night Picks Nation were none too thrilled that Craig and Matt did new predictions last week. They were less than thrilled when they found out that by not doing picks, Craig and Matt were going to talk about Roy Jones Jr. and Mike Tyson. To everybody out there that's upset with me, I'm sorry, but I needed a little bit of a break. I wanted to have some fun. I wanted to push my comfort zone. And hey, I thought that show was pretty good. I put a lot of time and effort into that. So hopefully people at least realized that when they started to downvote it. But overall, John, on the night, you know, we ordered some good food. We were having a good time on the big screen. We had the UFC fights on the laptop right in front of it. We had the Jones Jr. card. Matt Allen and Craig Allen loved that event. We thought it was the best thing. I mean, yeah, the rapping was a little lame, but like when I was like in high school, Wiz Khalifa was the shit. That was pretty cool. Like, I don't even like Wiz Khalifa. French Montana came out. I threw out a tweet, and again, this show could go on forever, but I'm gonna let this one go a little longer. I'm walking down the street in Yorkville, the ritzy part of Toronto, with my wife, and we're staying not far away. We're going to a couple ball games, and this blacked out Escalade shows up, and the window goes down. And you know, this is a really ritzy part of town, like little boutique shops, like Tiffany's down the way. Well, I look, and I went to Amanda. I go, "That's French Montana." And she goes, "Who?" I said, no, that's French Montana, like, you know, the rapper. And then all of a sudden, just a mob of people show up and they're taking pictures with him, freaking out. So French Montana pops up. I know who French Montana is from that time in Toronto. Cool. Where it got weird, why was St. John like the closer? And I get it. Like, I like rap music. I like St. John. Now, again, here in New Brunswick, here in the Maritimes, it's funny because St. John, New Brunswick is spelled St. John. There's St. John's, Newfoundland. It's S-T, John's, with an apostrophe S. St. John the rapper spells his name all kinds of weird. But overall, I was fine with it. Then they bring Snoop Dogg out. John, that's the point of the night where Triller right there, they lost me. Because Sugar Ray Leonard's not the greatest commentator. I think we can both agree on that. I like him from a legacy standpoint, but man, he doesn't really know if he's coming or going in some sentences. So, not the greatest. Mauro Ranallo coming in on short notice, looking like the Phantom of the Opera. I'm all for it. Canada's Mauro Ranallo with the hair. I loved it. I'm a big Mauro guy. Of course, his Thor Ragnaroktum comment when Deontay Wilder knocked out Bermaine Stiverne. I thought that was great, even though I'm a Canadian and you got to love Bermaine Stiverne. But when Snoop Dogg came into this broadcast, that's when it started to lose me a little bit. I was all for the Badu Jack fight against Blake McKernan. It was a shame. Blake McKernan, and I know, I guess I don't know, but I'm sure you can sympathize for the guy when he started to talk about PTSD and he was shaking his head. Like, that got scary. And I was surprised they didn't end the fight a little bit earlier. But again, that fight was all right. The first fight on the card between the two unknowns and a guy that came in on incredibly short notice. All good. Great fight. Enjoyed it. I was fine with Jake Paul and Nate Robinson. I hyped it up during the week. I thought Jake Paul was going to win. But when Jake Paul knocks out Nate Robinson, to me, it's incredibly unprofessional when somebody on the call is calling out the fighter that's sleeping on the mat. That's ridiculous. I did not like Snoop Dogg on Dana White's Contender Series with Uriah Faber. I thought it was the dumbest thing. So having Snoop Dogg on for the co-main and main event just kind of brought it down, in my opinion. I was fine with Snoop Dogg rapping and smoking the blunt. That was cool. But overall, Snoop Dogg as a commentator kind of lost me a little bit.
Well, okay. I have some agreements and some disagreements. I'll say this. First off, I think had he only been, you're right, it's extremely unprofessional what he said when Nate Robinson got knocked out, but he's not a professional. So we can forgive him a little bit for that. But I think that the Nate Robinson, the whole thing's a spectacle, but the Nate Robinson, Jake Paul fight is comedy in a way, right? So I think it's okay to have Snoop there. He shouldn't have been in the Tyson Jones fight commentating. I agree with what you said about Sugar Ray Leonard in the sense that Sugar Ray Leonard had some opportunities where Marvin Rinaldo was setting him up, and I feel like he just would say stupid stuff like, yeah, I'd come back and fight if I could fight you. And it was like, dude, it just completely derails the conversation. So I thought Adesanya was really good. I get the problem that people have with Snoop on the Dana White Contender Series, but what seems to get forgotten throughout time was that was an option to listen to him. They still had regular commentators. So if you wanted to opt to listen to the Uriah Faber Snoop cast, you could, but you know, you still had a regular, it wasn't like he was being forced down your throat. I think the mistake that people are making, and we might get to this a little bit later with Snoop and his whole Fight Club new thing he's going to do, is that Snoop does well in these things when he has some base level of knowledge of who's fighting. And I think where he got a little bit underwater in the Contender Series was that he wasn't willing to do the work to know these guys. When Roy Jones fights Mike Tyson, everybody knows everything about these two guys, especially a guy that was big when they were fighting and probably throwing parties and all this. So, of course, he would have some background knowledge of Jones. And then, listen, the whole my two uncles are fighting at the barbecue thing was pretty funny. Now, would I have missed that line if I never got it? No, because I don't think he should have been commentating. But, you know, when he started singing the hymnals when Nate Robinson got knocked out, I thought it was funny. I'm going to be honest. Is that unprofessional? Yes. But did it make me laugh? Also, yes. I thought that this, you know, I'll echo what Chael Sonnen said, and that I thought this was a home run, this card. The problem is the circumstances surrounding it may be the reason why it was a home run. I mean, it's 2020. Tyson hadn't fought in 15 years. You know, there's a lot going on here. So I loved it. I loved everything about it. Even the things I didn't love, I loved. In the sense of like Sugar Ray Leonard and Snoop in the main event, I thought it was a home run. What'd you think about Snoop? I'm not Snoop. What'd you think about Tyson and Jones?
So Matt Allen was pretty critical of me saying this, but you know, when I'm watching these fights, you got to realize what you're going to get. I watched Roy Jones Jr.'s last fight when it was live, you know, on Fight Pass. It was neat. You knew he was fighting a scrub, but the left hook was still there. He backed the guy up against the ropes. He peppered him. Like, it was fun to watch. I expected a lot more out of Roy Jones Jr. than I think that we got, because it seemed to me like he was treating it as, well, this is an exhibition. I'm just going to tire Mike Tyson out. And, you know, by the, what, it was 8 rounds. So by like the 5th to 6th round, Mike's probably going to stop and then I can start working in some hooks. Mike Tyson didn't really stop. Mike Tyson just kept ripping the left hook to the body. There was one point where he did the head movement, and then he did that thing. I don't know the term, but you know the video that he had out on Instagram, Twitter with Francis Ngannou when he was showing him how to punch? And then he did that kind of spin move where he jumped on his feet? He did the same thing in that fight with Roy Jones, and I think I jumped out of my seat. Like, I thought it was great. Now, obviously, this isn't Terrence Crawford, Gennady Golovkin. It's not, you know, some of the best in the world right now at their peak. It's not like watching Canelo Alvarez. But for the money that I paid and overall what I got out of it, I can say I'm satisfied. Because just like you said, it's a spectacle. It's entertainment. To everybody that poo-pooed this and, oh, well, why would you, you know, criticize a perfectly good UFC card? At the same time that the Mike Tyson fight was going on, Josh Parisian was fighting Parker Porter. Unranked heavyweights on a UFC main card. In 10 years' time, what are we going to be talking about? The t-shirt that I bought for the Mike Tyson-Roy Jones fight? Or Parker Porter fighting Josh Parisian on a Friday night in a terrible UFC card? It was one of the lowest-rated UFC cards that I've ever seen. And in terms of name value, it's one of the worst. So what are people going to focus on? Again, we're an MMA podcast. You like boxing. I casually enjoy boxing from afar. I love this. I thought it was great. And one other thing for style points. I thought the camera angles were terrible, but it looked like they filmed this in like Chez Paris or, you know, any airport strip club. Dark lighting, bright white lights, and the guys are sitting up in the booth far apart from each other.
Yeah, and we can move on, but I think as long as they understand moving forward what this is and what made it great, and everybody that gets involved in it understands that as well, I think they could continue to succeed, maybe doing one or two shows a year. But, like, you know, you got to understand that, like, in this time now, not in the future, but right now, it made sense to black out the arena because no one was there. It made sense for these two guys to fight in a smaller ring so that, you know, there's more action. All those things made sense. And I think that if you're planning this out, the thing that really, I think, gave me a lot of hope for the future of something like this is Mike Tyson's post-fight interview. He did not seem winded at all. Like, he seemed like he came in shape. Now, if this is a one-off, who knows? I mean, he said a lot of things in the past about when he starts working out and feeling himself, it's bad for him. So I don't know what that means, you know? I mean, he's really went out of his way on Joe Rogan's podcast to say, when I start getting in shape, I see that old guy, and that's a problem. But we'll talk about this later. There are some opportunities that night presented for him, so we're going to see maybe if he takes advantage of them.
Well, let's stick with the boxing and we'll change topics just a little bit. And John, we like to rag on the Professional Fighters League, but as I always say, like the Otara Millionaires Club said in 1996, the PFL is making moves and starting grooves before they knew we were gone. And while they just made another high profile signing, and it isn't the heavyweight GOAT that they just signed, because Clarissa Shields has signed with the promotion, is set to make her MMA debut next year. It's looking like April 2021. So John, do you think that Clarissa Shields is being set up to succeed with the PFL? And furthermore, is this whole Zuffa boxing thing that's supposed to happen in December, is that just over now or what?
Well, the elephant in the room with Clarissa Shields signing with the PFL is Kayla Harrison. And I guess my thing would be, how quickly do they just bill this as a fight between two fighters with contrasting styles? Like, will Kayla Harrison judo win out over Clarissa Shields' boxing? Because obviously, what Shields does well, Harrison doesn't. And what Harrison does well, Shields doesn't. So you could sort of build this as an old school fight if you wanted to. Or do they take the smart approach and just say, listen, we don't know if Clarissa Shields and Kayla Harrison are ever going to fight because they're on two different trajectories. The reality is that by the time Clarissa Shields is a good enough MMA fighter to fight Kayla Harrison, Kayla Harrison might be gone onto the UFC or onto other opportunities. Who knows? But, you know, a better pickup if you really wanted to have a fight with Kayla Harrison would have maybe been like Amanda Serrano, who's a crossover fighter, but she fights at Combate Americas. She's probably a little further down the road than Clarissa Shields is. But she's not half the star that Clarissa Shields is. So I think that the smart thing that the PFL did here in signing Shields was they accomplished two goals. One, they gave Harrison a high-profile opponent who's not afraid to run their mouth. And two, they signed Harrison's replacement if she decides to move on. Then Shields becomes the biggest star in the promotion. They can roll with her. As far as Zuffa boxing goes, I think they can probably coexist. As long as it's written into her contract, she can still box for Zuffa and, you know, fight for PFL. And maybe if, you know, Dana starts talking to PFL more, Craig, who knows, we might get a feeder league for the No. It's a pipe.
No, I think LFA's already got that on lock. But it's just, to me, it's weird. Like, Bellator just re-signed Denise Kielholz. So she's having a ton of success in MMA. She's one of the kickboxing champions. Remember, it was the start of November. I looked this up before the show. When there was all these waves that the first Zuffa boxing show was going to be headlined by Clarissa Shields. And then I haven't heard anything about it since. So I went on the Fight Pass app. I don't see anything about the date in December. I don't see anything anywhere else except for that initial pop in November. And that seems to be it. And I had to look it up because UFC does have their own former women's boxing champion, Danielle Wolf, 37-year-old who just got her first MMA win on Contender Series this summer. So good luck to Danielle Wolf, former three-time national boxing champion in the United States of America. You're 37 years old. The floor is yours. You're going to take the UFC by storm. I don't know what the UFC is doing. I don't know why they missed out on signing Clarissa Shields. I get it. I mean, she's as green as they're going to come in MMA, and she wants to compete in boxing and in MMA and to have those two lives coexist. I don't think that's going to work. I don't think that's going to work at all. Like, remember what CM Punk did. And again, professional wrestler, but the guy dedicated years of his life to becoming a mixed martial artist, and he got mopped by Mickey Gall. And then what did he do? He kind of like cowered on the mat against Mike Jackson. That's a guy that dedicated so much time in his life to becoming a mixed martial artist, training with some of the best people in the world at Rufus Sport, having some of the best coaches in the world, and he couldn't crack it. Clarissa Shields, definitely much younger, 25 years old, very active in boxing. I mean, she has only had the one fight in 2020, but I would expect them to really groom her into this position, a la like AJ McKee and Bellator. Just build them up slowly. Now, I know she put out on Twitter just a couple of weeks ago, and it was kind of some foreshadowing that she had signed a contract that would kind of dictate the next 3 years of her life. I think this is that contract. So if she's around for 2 or 3 years with PFL, don't give her Kayla Harrison right off the bat. You know how good Kayla Harrison is. Just build Clarissa Shields up on her own, and then you might have a start.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, here's hoping that Clarissa Shields finds the time to avenge her loss in the Titan Games, where she really had a very disappointing show showing. You know, here's the thing I can't quite figure out, and I'll ask you this before we move on. If you're her, what do you think is a smarter move? Because this whole Zuffa boxing thing, listen, we've talked about this in the past. I think the best play for Dana White is to do his version of the Contender Series with boxing, and that's Zuffa boxing. That's what it is. From a financial standpoint, from an everything standpoint. And I just don't see, like, he's missed out on some huge opportunities here to launch Zuffa Boxing, which is the Shields thing. He could have been the guy that underwrote the Tyson fight. I mean, there's all these different ways to go. I mean, Dana White has the connections to have done what Triller did, for sure. So
you took the words right out of my mouth, as Meatloaf said. Now I took the words out of yours. I'm probably the biggest fan of Triller. Triller knows how to present an event. I don't know what I honestly don't know what Dana White's doing. Why can't you do boxing? You know, I think the best time for Dana White to have gotten into boxing was when Oscar De La Hoya flubbed Tito Ortiz, Chuck Liddell 3. They were going back and forth. Dana was on, what's that stupid show with Greeny that you guys have down there?
Get Up.
Does anybody watch that?
It's getting some traction.
It's getting up. All right. So it's getting up like Morningwood. But overall, I think Dana White had a better opportunity to get into boxing then than he did now, because at least you had your name in the spotlight and you could say, well, De La Hoya flubbed MMA. Here's how boxing should be done. Now we're so far removed from that. You lost Clarissa Shields in terms of MMA. There's all these big names that he could sign. I mean, Canelo Alvarez, does he play the one fight deal here, one fight deal there, or do you sign him long term? I don't know, but I really don't know what Dana's doing. I mean, sure, Contender Series is great on its own, and you bring up a good point. Sign a bunch of young boxers. They're going to be hungry. They're going to want money. That's a perfect vessel for a young boxer. Then you sign them to a multi-fight deal. Do exactly what you're doing. Phase out your old talent, bring in some new talent. But in boxing, it would be phase in your new talent, build them into stars. Dana White can do that. I mean, who builds stars better than him?
Nobody. And what I think is interesting is this has been tried before. with reality shows. Sylvester Stallone had one. I think either De La Hoya or Sugar Ray Leonard had one. It was called The Contender, I think, was Stallone's. But it was, like, tough. But I think Dana has the idea down, which is the night. You find out that night if the guy got a contract or not. And I think if you do that in boxing, now the trick is that you have to then have shows these guys can perform on. So it's fine to have the Contender series for boxing, but you also have to have the shows. All right, Craig. Finally comes that Chimaev gets a true test and Leon Edwards gets a fight. It's all set to go. Not so fast, my friends. Leon Edwards has COVID. So, Craig, I have to admit, first we thought Khamzat had it. Then we found out Leon had it. So we've had some time to process it, but it's disappointing nonetheless. We hope, of course, for a speedy recovery for Leon. But in terms of Khamzat Chimaev, what's the play here? Do you wait for Leon Edwards to see if he clears his COVID stuff? Because look what we're dealing with, Cody Garbrandt. Or do you wait?
Or do you move on? I think they wait. I think that they wait for him. I don't think any other high-profile welterweight right now wants to fight a guy that's so unproven like Khamzat Chimaev. And listen, I get it. He's 3-0 in the UFC, impressive finishes, all that. And he's ranked, which is a joke, because what the fuck? Your rankings are stupid. The only reason he has that number next to his name is so they can sell a fight against Leon Edwards for it to make sense in a casual's mind. I mean, We had Anthony Smith and Devin Clark last weekend, and Clark wasn't ranked and Smith was. A, you saw what happened, but B, that was just because of the circumstances and your main event fell out. I think you have to wait for Leon Edwards. He's the only guy that's going to take this fight. What other welterweight's going to take it? I mean, I know Wonderboy and Jeff Neal have been moved up to the main event. Is Jorge Masvidal going to take a fight against Khamzat Chimaev? No, he's not. Is Nate Diaz going to take that fight? Well, of course he's not. Who else is going to take it? Damian Maia? No. I mean, it was rumored. I have it in a thumbnail with Fight Night Picks, but it's not going to happen. So, yeah, I don't think anybody else is going to take the fight. Wait for Leon Edwards.
You know, I think waiting for Leon Edwards is a smart play here for a lot of different reasons. We talk about these guys who have their ascension into worldwide popularity and you know, global, being a global presence like Conor and Masvidal and all these guys. There's a little bit of luck along the way. You know, Conor got Poirier early, got Holloway early, slept Aldo, which no one could have saw coming. Masvidal had the Till fight. Then he had the Askren knockout, and all these things happened. I think that if you're the UFC, and I gave you this is a strained podcasting or radio show device. If I gave him some truth serum, if Dana White was, you know, forced to tell the truth, he would tell you that Leon Edwards coming off of COVID is a much better matchup for Khamzat Chimaev than Leon Edwards not coming off of COVID. So if you already had the fight booked anyway, and you clearly have no problem leaning on Leon Edwards to do any number of things, and you're at odds with him for any number of reasons, I put the pressure on Leon and say, hey, man, let me know when you're ready to go. I keep calling and calling and calling so that Leon books that fight as soon as he can. And listen, he's going to be a little bit compromised, and that benefits Chimaev. And that's the guy you want it to benefit. So, yeah, I would stick with that fight if I was in the UFC.
So, all right, John. So we move on, and listen, we're hipsters. We get up for the Bellator prelims. We're rock hard with emotion when Jake Hager fights. And we're there for the lower weight classes. Well, Bantamweight is strong for sure in terms of all of MMA, but it's in a weird spot. John, Petr Yan just postponed his fight with Aljamain Sterling. The quote here is, everything's in force for the fight. It's going to be postponed for about a month and a half, but everything's in order. There were problems, different problems, with the flight, with the visa. During training, I flew away for a visa deadline. Lots of factors. We decided with the team to move everything to next year. Perhaps the card is more suitable. So that's Petr Yan's plight. Aljamain Sterling, no comment. Couldn't be reached. TJ Dillashaw said with Brett Okamoto that he's coming back. He wants a title shot. He said earlier this spring, too, after 2 years away, I'm getting a title shot. I'm next in line. So we'll see where TJ Dillashaw falls. But, John, so you're Mick Maynard or in Sean Shelby's shoes, one or the other. One's probably a lot smaller than the other. But we look at this, and you've got one of the busiest divisions in the company, and it's stalled right out. So what would you do to kick things back off again in this busy UFC bantamweight division?
You know, that's a good question, and Sterling doesn't know what to do. You know what I mean? You're right. I mean, he's put some stuff on Twitter where he's not 100% sure what's going on. He's a little frustrated. And I get that. I just can't get my head around rewarding TJ Dillashaw for losing 2 years to
USADA. He only did EPO once. He only did it one time, right?
I know, right? Yeah, that was it. One time. And so so he wasn't on EPO when he was Killashaw, right? He was just on it when he got busted. So listen.
He was just Fat Tyler at 135.
Exactly. Right. So here's the thing. I think that you, again, we're waiting, and I know that frustrates fans and it frustrates Dana. But I mean, listen, sometimes every once in a while you just gotta do right by a guy. And I think that there's not enough out there at bantamweight for Petr Yan right now that I believe that you can't just wait for Sterling. I think he deserves the fight. He's deserved it for some time. There are obviously bigger fights out there for Yan. But I think you wait. I think Sterling deserves it. I think if Yan is – here's my thing. If Yan's true about what he's saying and I'm Sterling, I'm going to take him at his word. I'm going to say, okay, if this is what you're saying, why the fight's being postponed, then I'll wait. We'll both wait. That's fine. If Yan or the UFC is using this to angle for something else, then I got problems. But, yeah, I think they should wait and give Sterling a shot.
I can't wait for Dillashaw to come back just for this. Can't stop addicted to the shindig. I miss TJ Dillashaw so much. I mean, Anthony Kiedis in the crowd now. My drum's sticking on my computer. It's pretty bad. But overall, TJ Dillashaw, big star. One of the bigger stars that you have at 35. I look at this division. Yan doesn't have a fight now. Sandhagen doesn't have a fight. Sterling doesn't have a fight. Moraes is fighting Rob Font. Frankie Edgar doesn't have a fight. Aldo's fighting Marlon Vera. Garbrandt doesn't have a fight. Rivera's fighting Munoz. Marab doesn't have a fight. He was supposed to fight this weekend, not going to happen. And Haunie Barcellos doesn't have a fight, even though he's been rumored to have one. So I can keep going down through this division, but that's the problem. I just keep going down and down and down. And what, are we going to bring Uriah Faber out here to fight one of these guys? Like, I don't know what to do. For Dillashaw, I mean, give him Frankie Edgar. I think that fight makes actually a lot of sense. I think that's a good one. Edgar wants to prove himself. It's a worse fight for Edgar than it is for Dillashaw, but... hey, that one's going to sell. Former champs, big money. Or the winner of Marlon Vera, Jose Aldo, fights TJ Dillashaw. Again, big money. But when I look at Petr Yan, the fight that I want to see from a sporting perspective is that Aljamain Sterling fight. I think that's the best fight to make. You saw what Sterling did to Sandhagen. I know what Sandhagen did to Moraes, but still, Sterling to me holds a lot more water. Just wait. If you have to wait, you know, an extra month, 2 months, 3 months, just do it. It sucks that these guys can't be active, but I think that's just really the way to go.
Now, is EPO the shindig? Is that officially what – I mean, if you can't stop because you're addicted to the shindig, is that the shindig EPO? Maybe. We'll see. But I'm with you, man. I'm all the way in. I think that I like some of the fights that you proposed, you know, for Dillashaw. I think Frank Yeager makes a lot of sense. I think that you shouldn't come back just getting the gift of a title shot, whether you're an ex-champ or not.
You know, put your fan hat on, put your media hat on. My fan hat screams TJ Dillashaw in a title fight, but he's one of my favorite fighters to watch, so that there's that too.
Yeah, and he's an interesting guy. I mean, we talked before about, you know, a lot of the training for helping out Faber with Cruz and how he kind of changed the way he fought. He's a hell of a fun fighter to watch, but again, if you're going to get busted, you can't walk back into title shots. All right, Craig, let's talk 125 pounds. Let's talk former teammates of TJ Dillashaw as Cody Garbrandt remains on the mend with COVID. He's targeting a March return, which it's December. Isn't overly exciting news. Which, and I don't want to go off on a derail this intro, but, you know, if it's December and Garbrandt's having COVID complications, he's not expected back till March. That really makes this Leon Edwards situation very interesting. So we'll get back to this, though. He's targeting a March return. Davidson Figueiredo and Brandon Moreno are, in the words of Steve Mazzagatti, hooking it up in a couple weeks to figure out who the man is at 125 pounds. Henry Cejudo says it's Moreno. There's also talk abound that Figueiredo is the fighter of the year. So, Craig, settle some 125-pound disputes. Is Figueiredo the man at the weight class? Is he the fighter of the year? And how do Garbrandt and Moreno factor into all this?
I'll give you my I struggled. My Mario Yamasaki hard on this one. Flubbed that one. Sorry. I look at Davison Figueiredo as, yeah, I mean, he could be a fighter of the year. If it's not Davison Figueiredo, who is it? Hamzat Chimaev? Is it? I don't know. Like, you tell me. But to me, yeah, Davison Figueiredo deserves. I mean, it sucks that he missed weight the first time against Benavidez, but I think he made up for it by beating Perez and Benavidez. All 3 wins finishes. I'm all for the guy who can cut hair and feed you supper and then knock you out to sleep. Like, this is the guy. This is the guy. Davison Figueiredo, most interesting man in the world. Apart from that, you know, to kind of look at the division like I had a look at Bantamweight, I mean, you got Figueiredo matched up with Moreno to end the year. So Figueiredo wins that fight, by all means, again, fighter of the year. Benavidez, there was rumors he had a fight, right? There was rumors. He doesn't have anything booked from what I can see, but I know there was rumors. Askar Askarov doesn't have a fight booked right now. Perez just lost. Pantoja's fighting my guy, Manel Cape, so I'm excited about that one. Formiga, bye-bye. Brandon Royval coming off a loss. Haleem Paiva, and so on and so forth. But at the top end of this division, yeah, Davison Figueiredo is my guy. And then to really answer the question about Cody Garbrandt, A, it's a shame. You know, for some reason, this is a divisive topic. I don't even see why it is. But I'm a big baseball guy. I mean, you can see that with my Michael Chavis Portland Sea Dogs, where he's raking. He's raking the leaves. I like bobbleheads. Involved with the Boston Red Sox organization. The reason why I bring that up, their star pitcher this year lost a whole season due to heart muscle complications because of COVID. So if that can happen to a premier athlete there, it's a shame that you have these COVID complications going on with another star athlete, Cody Garbrandt. So A, this guy's been through a lot over the past year. Even before the whole COVID problem, he had some physical problems, different medical issues. So I just hope that he can come back, you know, close to the fighter that he was before. And maybe 125 isn't the play. I mean, if you have issues, maybe just sort them out at 35 for the time being. Just wait.
Yeah, it depends on what the issues are. I mean, he could have issues that are making, you know, and this is a horrible way. I don't want to say a horrible way to put this, but, you know, the COVID stuff may make him drop in weight, and it may make 25 more comfortable for him in a way that it wasn't before. Who knows? That's one of those, you know, unintended consequences of something sometimes. So I'm interested to see him and Figueiredo fight because they're two guys that just want to get in there and swing and take your head off. I am a little bit on your side of the street now when it comes to Brandon Moreno, in the sense that when Cody Garbrandt gets healthy, there may not be a Davison Figueiredo fight for him to have because Brandon Moreno might just take that belt. So it's going to be interesting. I think that, you know, I got a lot of respect for Moreno. I think this might be the best, you know, because of Moreno not being a huge star yet, I think that we're all kind of looking for what the big thing's going to be at 25, and this might be it. I mean, these guys theoretically could have a trilogy that lasts a couple of years. I mean, that's how good they both are. So I think that's where it's going to get really interesting. I want to see what we get out of this Figueiredo Moreno fight before I even start thinking about what's next for Figueiredo at 25.
Do you think people are going to fault me because I picked Brandon Royval to beat Brandon Moreno?
They should, because you've been on Brandon Moreno's. You've been driving the hype truck on that kid for years.
Yeah, it's been like a 2-year process. So let's continue moving on, but keep talking about titles because, John, Dustin Poirier joined Luke Thomas earlier this week on Morning Combat. And, of course, the number one sticking point was that Poirier believes that, and I quote, "I think the division needs clarity and needs an undisputed world champion. There's no reason for that unless Habib is out for a long time." Now, John, do you believe that the UFC 257 main event between Poirier and McGregor is going to be for all of the marbles or just the interim marbles?
I think it has to be for all the marbles unless these conversations between Dana and Khabib are taking a turn that I can't foresee. Because of the reality, now, there's a few breadcrumbs out there where Dana has a little bit of leverage. I think I saw somewhere that Khabib's buying a promotion, and that's been widely reported. But the thing that is kind of a little bit less reported is that Khabib says he wants his promotion on Fight Pass. Now, with that being said, does Khabib have the juice to get on Fight Pass without fighting? Yes. Is that something that Dana can use and say, okay, yes, I would happily let you do this on Fight Pass, because of what you've meant to the company. But if you want a 5-year deal with Fight Pass, or you want a less of a licensing agreement with Fight, you know, if you want a hell of a deal here for your promotion, then let us put this fight together. Now, the interesting thing is would Khabib want to walk to the ring against Conor or Poirier first, meaning he's not the champion? And if that's the case, if there's anything in his brain that he might fight these guys again, he's going to want to go in there as the champion, I believe. So then, yeah, then you would he would have to allude to Dana that, yeah, I want this to be for the interim belt. Because if not, why not just say that? If you're Dana, why not just say, either tell us you're going to fight again or we're making this for the full-fledged belt?
So GFC, they have a card coming up this week, but then it's going to be Eagles FC. So no more Gorilla in step, the Eagle. Now, I think a Gorilla is a better fighting animal than an Eagle, but what do I know? It's not my national bird. I don't even know what our national bird is. A goose? Is it a goose?
Mine's an eagle. I don't know.
Here's an eagle. Yeah, it's weird. But the point I'm trying to make is, if you're Khabib, do you really need Fight Pass? Really? Do you need Fight Pass for exposure? You're Khabib Nurmagomedov. YouTube, you're making ad revenue. Couldn't you? Here's where I'm going. Let's just get there. The PFL. All of those fighters that they have from the Caucasus regions. All of the Ali Abdelaziz connections. Why don't we just leverage all of them and use the Fight Pass OTT platform? Or not, made a mistake. Use the PFL OTT platforms. Get PFL involved. There's all that seed money there. Start to try and get a little bit of that. Because I know PFL had those international series that nobody watched because they didn't promote them. But why don't you play into that a little bit? Then just become a feeder league for the PFL.
Yeah, there's so much streaming now that there's got to be other options for him if he wants to do them. The question becomes, are those other options worth what being on Fight Pass would be? Dude, he could strike a deal with Fight app like Triller did.
Yeah,
and 100% he would be top billing on that app if he did so. Now, the amount of connection he would have to that to make that happen would be, you know, he'd have to be present in the way Chael's present on Submission Underground for people to care about as much as they do. Chael gets some guys. I mean, his end of the year card's looking real nice. So I think that Khabib has some leverage, but I think that the best case scenario would be working with Dana on Fight Pass. So the question is, how much of that is Dana going to hold over his head? That remains to be seen. All right, Craig, let's move on to sparring sessions. Craig, there's been a lot of talk about what to do with the success of this Triller event. Tyson versus Jones. One thing that was announced, but not necessarily fleshed out on Fight Night, was Tyson's League of Legends. I must admit, on Fight Night, I was pretty excited about the notion, as I've been advocating for a Legends division, certainly as long as you've known me, even before that. But Chael Sonnen said something, and here's our Chael mention. Chael Sonnen said something this week that really got me thinking about it, which is, yes, this could be successful if Mike Tyson is connected to all of these. If he's not, are you as interested in a League of Legends? Was the question he posed to the crowd or to the audience. So it's the question I'll pose to you. Do you think a League of Legends has any chance of success if Tyson is not on those cards?
Not necessarily. I mean, Bellator really had a lot of Legends fights in the past, and they were able to market them fairly well. I mean, who didn't miss out on Ken Shamrock and Hoist Gracie again? Or Kimbo Slice and Dada 5000? Like, I mean, I'm playing with the props tonight, so I get the Butterbean glove here. Who wouldn't want to see Butterbean fighting in a League of Legends? But does it have to have Mike Tyson connected with it? Well, no, Eric Esch can fight anywhere he wants if he's still fighting. Is he still fighting? I know one of his last fights that he had was actually with Elite One MMA out of Moncton, New Brunswick, Canada. So shouts to them. Never been to one of their events, but I've heard there's something. They exist. So, John, I don't think you have to have Mike Tyson involved, but I think having Mike Tyson involved definitely changes things for you. And you're probably going to get some people out of retirement that you wouldn't otherwise have been able to. So I think you don't necessarily have to have that Tyson name, but it definitely helps, especially with the success of this fight card.
Yeah, you know, so in answer to your question, last time Butterbean was in a contest was, looks like, 2011 mixed martial arts. So for me, I don't want to step on our next segment, but I will tell you this. There are some matchups. It would depend to me on who would agree to box, because I don't know that the League of Legends could be a mixed MMA boxing. It could be, where they do, like, you know, Pride fought in a ring. So they could do these kind of events where, you know, an example that I'll use that I didn't put in the next segment, which I guess we could, would be Fedor Emelianenko and Brock Lesnar. If they both decided to fight in League of Legends, people would definitely be interested to see it. You know, Fedor
Emelianenko. What about, like, Fat Tyler, Vitor Belfort, and Lyoto Machida?
Yeah. I think, you know, Randy Couture and Fedor Emelianenko. If they decided, if they agreed to box, would fans want to see that, would be the question. Or could Triller put on an MMA event or some sort of a mixed event? If Randy Couture would have went over in his prime to fight Fedor Emelianenko in a ring, I would have wanted to watch it. If it existed right now, I'd watch it. So the idea of those two guys fighting mixed martial arts in a ring, isn't that crazy? So there's a way to do this, but you gotta really, the question becomes, can you draw enough attention to pay the guys the money they would want to be paid? Which is the question for any promotion. So yeah, it gets interesting.
All right. So I want to get into it. I like this next segment. I'm excited about this. Matt, all thanks to the fans out there. Support for Fight Night Picks is now brought to you by Manscaped. Who is the best in men's below-the-waist grooming? Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. And Matt, I couldn't be more excited about this. Honestly, awesome. I know we took a week off last week. Maybe you're away from the Fight Night Picks brand. We chugged along with Question Mark Kicks. We brought out some new content, and a new addition to the show has been Manscaped. And you probably saw it earlier with our Fight in the Night picks to start off the card. But I'm really excited to have Manscaped on board. And I mean, they make some great products. And listen, we've all been there. I have bought the generic trimmer that you buy from the big box store, brought it home, and I had a nose hair trimmer. And to be totally honest, I have a nose hair problem. I'll admit it here on the internet in front of thousands of people. I have nose hair issues. And I had one of those ones with the blades on the side. And you get it in there, it hurts. It's not fun to use. You're using that trimmer. It doesn't work very good in the shower. You can't see what you're doing. And then all of a sudden, you're trying to get in real high and tight. And you nick your nuts. And then it's a problem. And it looks really bad in the shower for the next person that has to hop in the shower. If you don't clean it up, it's just a mess. I have to tell you, though, that's why Manscaped, they redesigned the electric trimmer. Now, Matt, if you go with the perfect package combo, you got the Manscaped boxer briefs. It's great stuff. You get the Manscaped shirt that Matt has on. You get a great little carrying case. You need a nice toiletry bag. They got one. It's nice, and it's leather. But if you look inside, this is where it really gets neat. And they redesigned that electric trimmer. The Manscaped engineering team has perfected the greatest ball hair trimmer ever created. I talked about it, but they just released the new and improved Lawnmower 3.0. Look at that light there, Matt. Ceramic. It's great. Their third generation trimmer features a cutting edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents. And when I tell you this is premium, I do mean premium. The battery will last up to 90 minutes so you can take a longer shave. The waterproof technology allows you to groom the shower like Craig Allen does. You know, another important part of my life, apparently. And one of the coolest features is that LED light, which illuminates grooming areas for a closer and more precise trimming. They've also upgraded to a 7,000 RPM motor with quiet stroke technology. And let's not forget about that charging stand. Listen, you have friends or relatives over on a Skype or Zoom call. You're leading them through your house. You're saying, hey, look at how clean my bathroom is. Wow! You hit them with the Manscaped, and they're going to respect you for that one. Overall, you can show off your trimmer loud and proud because it is an intelligently designed stand, convenient charging dock powered by USB. You got the USB charger at home. I know you do. And if you get the perfect package combo, it's going to come with that as well. And if you're listening to me speak right now, I want you to experience this firsthand for yourself. Let's get that bush and tush clean. Get 20% off and free shipping with code FNP at manscaped.com. Make your testies your besties. Matt, I know we both got these packages. We tried them out because you're not going to talk about something that you haven't tried. No word of a lie. Best thing I have in my grooming arsenal. And again, I talked about the nose hair trimmer. Let's pull this bad boy out. If you get the perfect package combo, it comes with the Crop Preserver Ball Deodorant. It's a salve. It works very nice. It keeps you nice and I said high and tight, but it keeps you high and tight all day. But the Crop Reviver Ball Toner, spritz a little bit of that on. You're going to feel nice and cool for a little while. It works very good. Keeps things nice and clean. And I talked about it, but the Weed Whacker, Matt, this nose hair trimmer, look it up. Go to manscaped.com. Use that promo code FNP so they know that we sent you. You're going to get 20% off your order and free shipping. It's at manscaped.com. Promo code FNP. Your balls will thank you.
All right, Craig. Hate it or love it this week is the segment of note. We need to have a name for this. Maybe what do they call the number one prelim? Again, what is it called? Featured prelim. The featured segment this week is Hate It or Love It. So it's Hate It or Love It Legends League. Let's just run down this. A couple of ones where we get crazy, but we'll start with ones that have been sort of widely rumored, okay? Let's start with Jake Paul. Jake Paul knocked out Nate Robinson in spectacular fashion. Jake Paul against Ben Askren. Do you have any interest in seeing those two in a boxing match?
I want to throw one in after this, but not a chance because Ben Askren's great. MMA people know him. MMA people hated this stuff, or at least Fight Night Mix fans hated it. And Ben Askren is notoriously a terrible striker. So no, I hate this.
I like it for the spectacle, but yeah, I don't think it'd be much of a fight. It does answer a very interesting question, which is a bad MMA striker still better than a civilian boxer or early an amateur level boxer? So that'd be interesting. Go ahead. What you got?
So we're talking hate it or love it, and we don't have this one in here, but what about Jake Paul and Evander Kane? Because those two guys are going back and forth. The Paul brothers are talking about Evander Kane. Yesterday, Evander Kane was on TMZ to talk about it. Like, they think this fight's actually going to happen. And to really fill you in on Evander Kane, I think he was fourth overall draft pick by the Atlanta Thrashers just before they became the Winnipeg Jets. He's played for Buffalo. He plays for San Jose now. I love Evander Kane because he's such a fast hockey player. He's one of the fastest guys out there. But the main thing is the guy can jaw, and he makes $7.5 million a year playing hockey. Do you hate it or love it?
I love it, actually. I love any hockey player that's willing, because there's something about let's just talk about the elephant in the room, which is the difference between hockey players and basketball players is basketball players think they're tough and hockey players are. And I think that's what Nate Robinson ran into, was he thought he was tough, and Jake Paul, for whatever he is, you know, Ben Askren had a good line, which was Jake Paul's doing this because he wants people to think he's tough. And I think Evander Kane's probably a legit tough guy. He's calling him out for a reason. He's making a shitload of money, so he doesn't need it. You know, he's not a retired player. He's an active player, right? So, I mean, he's good. His bank accounts, you know, the bag has been secured. So he's not trying to do that. I'm interested to see this. All right, so let's move on to a few other ones. This one is in the never going to happen category. Jake Paul and Conor McGregor.
You know what?
You got to hate it or love it. We're getting away from the theme here.
I love it. I love it. I love it. I want, you know what? I like those stupid Floyd Connor pressers. Like, I like that stuff. I'm in it for the entertainment. I bought the shirt for the entertainment. I enjoy this stuff. And if you don't, I don't care. I'm fine with it. The weight classes are bad, but I love it.
I hate it. It's a waste of Connor's time. Anderson Silva versus Roy Jones Jr. Hate it or love it?
I hate it. Unfortunately, I don't like it.
I love it.
Five years ago.
It's been rumored for a while. My problem is I don't feel like Roy took the Tyson fight seriously. And if you're not taking the Tyson fight seriously, I doubt you'll take the Anderson Silva fight seriously. So I don't need him in there looking, you know, and this whole thing, I fell into the trap of like, well, he's kind of near the weight that he fought at, so maybe he'll give it a go. I don't really think that he's, even though he kind of made weight, he was around 210. I think if Roy Jones Jr. fought Anderson Silva, I'd like to see them both at 185 pounds, to be honest, even if it's boxing. Then I know I'm getting something that I need to get. All right. This one is a big one, potentially. Mike Tyson versus Evander Holyfield 3.
Let's go back to hockey. John, have you ever seen the Carolina Hurricanes do their storm surge after they won a game? So you didn't see when Evander Holyfield walked out into the center of the ice and knocked out Jordan Martinook?
No.
Okay, well, it was pretty cool. It was really cool. Evander Holyfield's not ready for it, but I love it. I think it's great. Why not?
I think Evander Holyfield might be more ready for it than we think. Evander Holyfield's always kept himself in good shape. Hashtag USADA. I think that maybe he's not gonna want to lose to Mike Tyson. So he'll be ready. And Mike Tyson needs to be ready. I think that if they need to get the Mike Tyson that showed up to Roy Jones, if they're gonna do this fight, they need to do it within 5 months. The problem is that now that they know the popularity of this, everybody's gonna be waiting for that crowds to come back and that payday. What about Tyson Jones 2? Are you interested in seeing that one again?
No, this guy didn't show up to fight, so no.
All right, in the beginning of the Let's Get Crazies, if we're willing to at least entertain Anderson Silva against Roy Jones, what about Anderson Silva and Mike Tyson? Be a crazy poster.
Anderson Silva has lost so much shine. Like, MMA organizations don't want to sign him. Like, he's in a weird gray area, so why would I pay to watch him box when nobody wants to even pay him to fight in MMA?
Yeah, it's true. I mean, there's something to be said. But now I think that it gets interesting because he's a free agent and there's not a lot of interest. All right, here comes the really crazy ones. What about Jake Paul and Logan Paul?
They're never going to fight. Unfortunately, I have to say that I hate it. I know a lot of people would want to see it happen, but unfortunately, I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I will say this. If there were ever two brothers who would fight each other for the money and the spectacle of it, it's those two. Oh, you and Matt?
Fight my brother.
I think Jake Paul and Logan Paul would do it. I really do. I really do think they would do it. I think they're cut from the cloth where they would put the brother's side. Now the problem is neither one will lose, so that's part of it. But I mean, it's not like Jake wanted to lose to Nate Robinson. All right, Anderson Silva and George St. Pierre.
No, GSP boxing. Would beat this. No.
Boxing?
No.
All right. And Lennox Lewis, Mike Tyson, too.
I mean, I got a Canadian flag behind me somewhere. So, yeah, I'd be all for it. I mean, big Lennox Lewis guy. Big Lennox Lewis guy.
And lastly, this one went – it was in a movie. It was rumored for a long time. Never actually happened. Lennox Lewis versus – Vladimir Klitschko.
Didn't I hear a rumor that one of the Klitschko brothers is going to come back and fight? Like, recently?
Yeah, I think I heard that too. I'm not sure which one, though.
Sure, let's get crazy. Let's do it.
I think that one could make a lot of money. And you know what's funny? If they really want to get crazy with it, invite the cast of Ocean's 11 to it and really get nuts. All right, Craig, let's move on to For the Gram. Yair Rodriguez was suspended 6 months by USADA for failing to file location for random testing. Errol Hawani tweeted something like, it's one of two things. Either Yair doesn't really know how to use the app properly, or he's up to no good. He's like, I'm being told he doesn't know how to use the app properly, as if you would have been told that he's up to no good. But what are your thoughts here on Yair getting the the hand slap?
Is this... Have we talked about this? Like, have we been around this? Is this something that they know? Like, well, I don't know if I can comment on this, but yeah, no, he's not going to fight. Like, how weird was it when Dana White addressed this as such before anybody knew anything about it? It was so weird. Like, yeah, I like Yair Rodriguez. He's a great fighter. He's entertaining. The guy's... can be a bit of a knucklehead, can he not? Like, he doesn't say a whole lot, you don't see him very much, and you love him, but like, he's kind of a weird uncle right now. He's doing some weird stuff.
He's some sort of mix between Forrest Gump and Nate Diaz. Like, we never see him, we want to see him, and yet he runs into all these heads or tails. All right, one Twitter hitter time. Rafael Dos Anjos shared a clip of a grappling exchange with Khabib Nurmagomedov in their fight, and said, no one got closer to putting the champ out than me. Some people were saying that meant that he was saying that Khabib tapped. Then the conspiracy tinfoil guys came out and said Khabib tapped. And then Dos Anjos had to walk it back and say, no, I didn't say he tapped. I said I was the closest to getting him to tap. What are your thoughts on the whole thing? Is RDA got enough to get Khabib Lord out of retirement?
Hello, Gleason Tebow? Yeah, Gleason. So Dos Anjos is coming out here and saying that no one got closer to putting the champ out. Gleason, do you have any comment? All right, Gleason's not going to pick up my phone calls, but Gleason Tebow almost had Khabib's number. Maybe Rafael Dos Anjos is the second Brazilian to get that close, but overall, I don't know. Do I take him at his word? Well, he's looking to angle another fight at lightweight, so Dos Anjos is going to say what Dos Anjos is going to say. I don't know if I believe him.
Okay, we've been Diaz adjacent in the first two for the gram and one Twitter hitter. So let's get right to it. Nick Diaz, manager, said 99.99999% certain Diaz makes his UFC return in 2021. Dana is always somewhere between loving the Diaz brothers and hating the Diaz brothers. So what do you think about this one? Do you think we're going to see Nick Diaz in 2021?
Well, shouts to fellow Canadian James Lynch for getting this news broken on his podcast there this week. Credit where credit's due. I mean, I trust his manager if his manager is the one that says it, but I don't want to see this. I mean, hi, Mom. Hi, Grandma over on Facebook. That's what this segment's meant for. What do you folks think? I mean, I don't want to see it. I don't need to see it. He's been out for way too long. He's definitely going to have missed a step. I mean, Matt Wyman's fighting this weekend against Jordan Levitt in Levitt's UFC debut. He's got under 10 pro fights, and Matt Wyman looks like an absolute shell of himself. And need I remind people that, you know, what, 7-8 years ago, Matt Wyman was, like, getting close to the top at lightweight, and he's lost the big. So for Nick Diaz, I have no idea where he's at. I believe his manager when he says he's going to come back in 2021, but I don't necessarily need to see that.
Yeah, the Diaz brothers at this point in their careers are kind of willing to take a lot of fights, never show up for them. And when they do, kind of do well enough for you to say they're either okay or they might still have something left, but they perform well enough to then complain about not getting the victory. That's kind of where we're at with these guys. So I don't know, man. For me, I think that there's always going to be interest in the Diaz brothers. They are much like Mike Tyson in the sense that if they want to fight, people want to watch. But I just don't know if I'm all for anybody fighting it if we can find the right matchup. I'm just running out of matchups that interest me when it comes to these guys. So I don't think we're going to see Nick. I just think this is how the Diaz brothers stay relevant. And if the situation presents itself with a fight they think they can win, where they're getting overpaid to do so, then they'll fight. But other than that, it's all, you know, it's all Wolf tickets.
It's all Wolf tickets and Wolf Cola selling in Boca Raton. So, John, let's get in to start the conversation. As we always say, shouts to r/MMA Reddit on the underground. Those guys watch the Bellator prelims. Now, this week, we're going to open a can of worms with regards to fighter pay. And, John, this is something that we've delved into before. Contract issues, labor negotiations. We're talking about possible fighter unions. And Patrick Ogier, and again, shouts and credit where credit's due, over at an outlet that I work for a very short time with the Body Lock MMA, has a Business of Fight podcast. And he brings on a lot of influential people on there. And he might be able to really talk about this one in detail. But we're going to take this topic a few different ways because Mark Hunt came out in the not-so-distant past and talked about the fact that there's no prestige left in the UFC's titles. There's no money in the titles. And to quote him, and that's not just me telling you, you can see it from the evidence that everyone's doing. Why would you want to be a UFC fighter? Why would you want to be a heavyweight champion? Why would you want to be a champion of these things when they're just fucking paying them 16%? It's garbage. It's honestly garbage. When people say to me about the UFC product, I just sit there, I cringe and I laugh. I just go, wow, you're the world champion of wanting to ask for more money because there's no money. And then to get into it from a flip side, talking about a heavyweight that's in contention, that's making money, Curtis Blaydes, he says, we're talking about money. I'm not going to fight John Jones for 200K. That's ridiculous. I think a lot of people forget that we get paid what we get paid regardless of who the opponent is. I can fight a bum to make $200,000. So, John, the question I have for you is, where do you fall on the spectrum if you're a fighter looking to go big in MMA? Do you go where the money's at with one of the smaller promotions? Let's say a Ryzen, a KSW, a ONE Championship. If they offer you 250 grand to fight, but none of your friends and family have any idea who the organization is. And I mean, look at Bibiano Fernandez. Everybody knows him with ONE Championship. The guy trains out of British Columbia, Canada. Do you think the people in British Columbia know who Bibiano Fernandez is? Probably not, but he makes a ton of money fighting over in Singapore and Southeast Asia. Or do you go the route of, you know, some of the fighters that we've seen in the UFC? Like, pick anybody, really. I mean, what about a guy like Deiveson Figueiredo that just, like a cannon, boom, I'm there, and now I'm a UFC champion? How much weight does it hold? Well, I fought in the UFC. Where do you fall in this? If you're a young fighter, what would you do if you're in these young men and women's shoes?
Well, I kind of like what Justin Gaethje did. I mean, he stayed in the World Series of Fighting enough to fill his bank account, and then he was able to not have to worry about some of the things that other fighters have to worry about. So now, in fairness to that statement, Justin Gaethje was always going to be fighting for some money in the world UFC because of what he did. So had he left 2 years prior to when he did leave, he was going to fight that way. And he was going to get bonuses, and he was going to, you know, you'd imagine that if he's getting bonuses against top 10 guys, he would have got bonuses against top 20 guys. So let me just first say before I go any further that I hate what Curtis Blaydes said, because basically it's kind of like the Donald Sterling thing a couple of years ago when Donald Sterling figured out that I don't really have to make the Clippers good to still make money. And that was the dirty little secret of sports, is that you don't have to make your team good to make money at being an owner. Then more people did it. My issue with what Blaydes said is that, you know, you're saying that this is all about money to you. No one has ever, and this is obviously anti-capitalist perspective here, but no one has ever given their best effort by completely being driven by money. So, that's problematic. But I think that, you know, you got to want to do this. And that's any job. You got to want to do this. In my job, I have this conversation all the time with my boss. She'll ask me if I want to be on a committee. And when you're a teacher, a lot of times the committees that you're on or that you lead have stipends. So we'll start talking about it. I'm like, don't even tell me how much the stipend is yet. Or if there is one, I don't even want to know. Just tell me about the committee. Just tell me about the thing you want me to do. I say, because I want to make my decision based on whether or not I want to do this, not how much money I'm getting paid for it. Because when you start making those decisions, then as the money changes, so does your mind. And I would say that for me, I think that, if it were me, I know a lot of the things I'm saying are a little bit contradictory here, but if it were me, I would secure enough money when I was young to do the thing like they do in Hollywood. You make the one big picture for the studio so that you can make the small picture for yourself. So if you want to go chase titles and you want to, you know, make yourself comfortable enough that you don't have to worry about camp and paying your trainers and all that on the lower levels, and then from there, go chase your dreams.
And I mean, I'm in a totally different place in life than you are. And the way that I look at it is my window is small. The average UFC career is what? 2.5 fights? The average NBA career is what, 4 years maybe? And you go through these different pro sports. How long is the average career in football? Is it even 2 years? Like, these are very finite things, and you rarely get longevity like a Mike Tyson, a Roy Jones, an Anderson Silva, all the different people that we talked about earlier on in the show. So you got to get it while the getting's good. And if it was me and I had a $10,000 offer to go in Contender Series, and if I win, it's 12 and 12 for three fights, and then we'll see from there. Or I have the opportunity to go over with a one championship, a KSW, and it's 75 grand a fight. It's exclusive, but it's only 3 or 4 fight deal. And then I can build myself up and I don't have to worry about money as much. I'm going to take the 75K all day. I'll try and work the sponsors overseas. I'll try and work and leverage my contacts in North America, up here in Canada, and see what I can do. But that's the way that I would do it. I would set myself up financially, not just in the short term, but in the long term, because you're one flash knockout away from being Nate Robinson. So, and this is your one and only sport. You can't just go back over to basketball. So for me, I would take the money early, and then maybe you end up like a Gaethje. Maybe you end up like, and this is a stretch, but a Michael Chandler. You end up like one of these fighters. It doesn't always work that way. And I can only think of two examples. It just so happens that they're both in the same division, but I would do it that way. And you know what? Maybe you get lucky and you end up like, one of these type of like expat stars. Like you end up like Phil DeFries with KSW. You're a heavyweight champ. You're a huge deal. You get to make some money. Or you end up like, I don't know, Mighty Mouse is a poor example, but think of a homegrown fighter with one championship, or think of any homegrown fighters that they have with some of these smaller organizations, and you can end up like that. You never know what could happen. And a lot of those organizations like to develop talent. Like for me, yeah, Cass Bell lost to Rafian Stotts, but I think he could be a star for Bellator. I mean, he has bright green hair. He has a legion of hardcore fans on the Bellator news Facebook group. And he's the type of guy that could just do that. Keep going with Bellator, build yourself up, you're a star. So that's how I would do it personally. I know that's a little long-winded. And I also agree with you. I'm a little disappointed with what Curtis Blaydes had to say, because where's the incentive, man? Like, what's the point of you even fighting? If you're just in it for the money, what? Why? Like, I get it. I mean, I'm advocating for the money, but you also want to better yourself through competition, because if not, then what's the point?
Yeah, I agree with that. But at the same time, I'll say this. I think that sometimes in sports, we give those guys a harder time than just everybody else. Like, you know, if you're a manager at McDonald's, everybody's fine with you being in it for the money. If, you know, if you're at all these other jobs, people are fine that you're not trying to grow yourself professionally, or you're not trying, you don't have some other path that you're on or whatever. But for some reason in sports, it's like, oh man, he's just in it for the money and you're getting a lot of money. Well, yes, you know, you can make an argument that Bill Gates was in it for the money, or Mark Zuckerberg was in it for the money, or Steve Jobs was in it for the money. You can make that argument if you wanted to. I mean, that's the whole theory behind capitalism, is that there people are in it for the money. So I guess where it gets problematic for me, here's the thing. I think that the smart play, because what a lot of these guys go through is having to say, well, you know, when people see that you're an MMA fighter, they go, oh, are you in the UFC? And you got to say, well, no, I'm not. Or I think you go in the UFC, you get your win, and then you walk. And that way, it's like, it's kind of like the difference between being bald and having a shaved head. A shaved head is a choice. Baldness is, you got no choice. So I think that if you get your victory in the UFC and then take your walk, then I think that at least it's on your terms. Now, here's the question I pose to you, which I've asked some friends in the past, which is it better to be, it's the big fish, small pond, small fish, big pond question, but it's, is it better to be the champ in a lesser organization than it is to just be a ranked guy in an upper organization? Is it better to be Phil DeFree, or is it better to show up at the arena and everybody say, the champ's here, right? Not like Bundini Brown and Muhammad Ali, where they're chanting it, but like, you know, when Justin Gaethje shows up to World Series of Fighting, they say, the champ's here. Something's different now, the champ's here, right? The weigh-ins. I used to go cover World Series of Fighting weigh-ins. It was different when Gaethje was there because the champ was here. Is it better to be a guy who's the champ in a smaller organization, or just another guy in a big organization?
I mean, look at Douglas Lima. You're champ in another organization, and Joe Rogan says you'd be a tough test for the UFC's welterweights. Like, I think that's the perfect spot to be. Now, is everybody a Douglas Lima? No, there's a lot more Diegos out there than there are Douglases. So for me, I'm fine with that. I think being a champion a smaller organization, not necessarily a lesser. I mean, those two things, you know, take them for what they are. I'll choose to make a distinction, but I'm fine. If that was me, I'd be cool with it. I mean, hey, would I sooner be, you know, middling guy at, I don't know, the Ringer or the Fight Night Picks guy? I like being the Fight Night Picks guy. It's fun. Would I like to be a middling guy at the Ringer? Yeah, but I like being the Fight Night Picks guy.
Okay, guys, there you have it. The episode of Early Stoppage on Fight Night Picks is in the books. Be sure and comment under the video to let us know what you'd like to see next for the show here on YouTube. But also check us out on iTunes and Spotify. Craig can be followed at Craig Allen F&P. I can be followed at SM Quarterman. The fight has been stopped. We'll see you next week. Craig, for Christ's sakes, say something witty.
#BigFishSmallPond.
There you have it.